Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the college football playoff prediction show. No Monday morning recap today, simply because we got a Christmas show that we're traveling to on Thursday. We will be live from Free Roam Brewing down there in Bernie, Texas, 6 p.m. until midnight. I think the party's going to live Christmas show. It's got some OGs back. Mr. Matt Best will be there. Jared will be there. D'Anthony will be there. Four of us will be rocking. Some of your faves will be there. There it is on screen. But we've got to take our whole production team down there. So we're doing college football prediction show today instead of in its usual time slot. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You're welcome, MyBookie. You got some of my money back this weekend. Okay. D'Anthony, you amped about these playoffs?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't care, but very curious about the new fall. Emotions aren't something that I have. You see? But I do, I am intellectually curious to see how all this is going to go. It's already been kind of a shit show so far, and we haven't even played a game in the playoffs yet.
Yes.
What with Alabama, Ole Miss, etc., Miami, I guess you could include in that, being kept out in favor of SMU. And then there have been some movement so far, like Penn State has a guy entering the transfer portal now for no reason, by the way. Like, you don't have to do it right now. There's no reason to do it now.
You actually do, and here's why. So Franklin, the coach of Penn State, actually addressed the media roughly 30 minutes ago. And the quarterback in question, by the way, is Bo Prabula or Prabula. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Prabula.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Good
Probably.
For him. But he looked fantastic. He had to come in for Drew Aller for, I think, a half one time when he got hurt. He was, 28 to 35? Few touchdowns, and they would come in on a bunch of running plays because he can also run the ball, and it looked like he was going to have a promising career at Penn State. However, Drew Aller announced yesterday that he was going to come back for his senior season. This prompted your backup quarterback to leave, who still comes in on running plays and everything else. Now, the media was coming after this kid saying, how could you leave with the playoffs and all that other shit? And what he said was, due to the overlapping CFB playoff and transfer portal timeline, it's an impossible decision, which it is.
Why?
Because it's the 28th of December. Otherwise, you can't enter it until April 16th.
Why?
That's the rules.
How? No, but that's not really. What's the purpose, I guess, of the cooling off period?
It used to be when signing season was. So they pushed up high school signings. It used to be in February. Now it's pushed up to December. And then there's more signings in February. And college football didn't change the way that changed. And so James Franklin, the coach of Penn State, gets on, you know, the news today and says, I hate it because the kid didn't want to leave. He wants to stay and play. But also, if he doesn't get in this portal to go to the proper team before he's supposed to, he might miss out on his window to actually find the team that he's going to start for. Since you can't hop back into the portal until April, James Franklin said this rule needs to change immediately, since we're now going to this huge format, and I agree with him. The same thing happened to Ohio State.
So they lost their second string quarterback as well. Devin Brown, he said he's going to transfer. Now, Devin Brown fucking sucks. I don't really give a shit about that. And I don't think it affects Ohio State whatsoever. But for Penn State, it definitely does. Because in my opinion, I think they've got a really good shot to make the championship. They've got SMU, who's dog shit. Weather's going to be brutal up there, which we'll get to later. And then after that, probably Boise State, I think.
It's Boise State, yeah.
It is? So,
but that, I mean, yeah, maybe they win that. You're talking about they might get to the – they've got a good shot to get to the Orange Bowl. But they do not have a good chance of beating Georgia or Notre Dame, who are the two teams that will probably be there.
Georgia has no quarterback.
Doesn't matter. Penn State is Franklin, and they can't play offense.
I don't think Georgia can play offense.
That's right. And Georgia is better. Georgia has a better offense than Penn State does.
But you got a kid who's never played before. He played one half of football. Didn't look great for Georgia.
I believe in Kirby. So all things being equal, they both have... I think shit quarterbacks. I don't think Alar is very good. A decent run game, pretty good defenses. Kirby Smart is the far superior coach. Georgia would fucking wipe the floor of Penn State.
Okay.
But, I mean, still, getting to the semis, which is basically like the old CFP, is still...
It's a big deal.
It's better than what Penn State deserves.
And... they haven't made it since that format was installed with the four teams back in 2014-15 for that season. So, yeah,
I mean, they haven't really been in contention.
No, no.
Like, to be honest, I don't remember when the last time Penn State was top four in the last week of the season.
So the last time that would have happened was, I think, under Franklin when Penn State won the Big Ten title but had two losses. They beat Ohio State in the title game.
Got and jumped for Ohio State.
Ohio State then.
Yeah, that was that year when, was it Alabama and was it Ole Miss?
What year was it, Bob?
Two SEC teams both had two losses.
I think
And they skipped them and put Ohio State in instead. Or was it Miami and Alabama, maybe? I don't remember.
So they won 2016 was the year.
2016.
Yeah. But they skipped Ohio State over, I think it was either Alabama or Miami or something like that. Because there were two teams that were tied.
Yeah.
I guess tied for all intents.
Right.
And they were just like, well, we're not going to choose. We're just going to put in Ohio State instead.
So Penn State was at number five that year.
So that's that's still not even top four. That was an anomaly for them to get in.
But it was a really, really... controversial leave out
decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. And for Penn State, I believe you also get more money for going to the Final Four in the championship now than you used to back in the day. And it could cost them money too if Aller goes down. And let's face it, he's gone down this year. So now you don't have a second string quarterback because of all this bullshit. And yeah, these rules have to change immediately, along with the formatting and the seating of these rounds of games that we're in right now, because Boise State getting a bye is nuts to me. And so is Arizona State. That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a function of the auto bid, but Texas should have gotten a bye, and probably, I guess rankings wise, it should have been Penn State should have been the other one.
I guess. Why does Texas deserve a bye?
Because just the rankings, man. I mean, that's if you're going to do that and it's based on some kind of formula, then the top four teams should get the fucking bye.
I agree.
I don't give a shit who won what conference.
And Texas, they have two losses. Both were to Georgia, who's number two in the nation.
Right, but who did they beat?
But yeah, those two losses are still the best two losses in the nation.
Ohio State deserves a bye over Texas.
I'll refer to the Penn or the Florida State situation last year. I don't think they do because of the injuries. So if I'm on that committee, I don't give them a bye because of the injuries.
Boise has one loss, and it's the best loss in the country.
Yes.
And they have about the same level of wins as Texas.
They beat UNLV twice.
There's no way I'm putting a G5 school in over
Texas.
Else.
Yeah, me neither.
It's not happening. And also, Ohio State lost at home to Michigan.
They have a horrible loss, certainly. Yeah. But they have very good wins as well.
I think that might be the worst loss in the CFP. To be honest, losing to a shit Michigan team at home.
No, like it's that. Not. Nope, it's not.
There's one team and one team only that has that crown. It's Notre Dame.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, well, yeah, it was like
Northern Illinois. Yeah. At home, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
State is a close second on that. That's not actually close.
They sure are.
No, there's a pretty big divide between Northern Illinois and Michigan.
Yeah. But right now, with everything that's happening in college football, the landscape is changing so rapidly. Somebody's got to get a hold of all this shit very, very quickly, because it's about to spiral out of control if it hasn't already. Let's go to the Bill Belichick situation. So he's at UNC now, head coach at UNC, and he's going to have a budget of $21 million, mm-hmm. Which is puts him on par with the top five teams in the nation. UNC certainly has the money there. A guy named Michael Jordan went to school there. I'm sure he wrote a nice little check, and he's going to have a budget to start buying whoever he wants to. He already got a quarterback in less than 48 hours mm-hmm. after his hire there. There's got to be some salary cap, or what the fuck do you do, I guess?
Well, but why would there be a salary cap?
Because let's take Oregon. So Phil Knight said he's going to write a blank check next year. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is. I don't know what that dollar amount's going to be. But then is this going to become a New York Yankees situation where you're just buying out a $100 million team every year?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if one team or two separate themselves by orders of magnitude from the rest, maybe you think about it. But if there's 10 teams that all come in around the same amount and they happen to be the 10 blue bloods, then you're not doing shit about that.
Even I mean, if it's
that's
two
good
teams.
For college football.
Also, like that's just how college football's always been.
Yeah. But now, actually, the talent's getting more spread out.
Yeah.
Well, for now, right?
It's a free market. But it's like... Look at the teams like this year that bought their entire squad, like Florida State. That did not go well.
No. Even Miami, they missed the fucking playoff.
Well, we've seen
Florida State didn't have the budget, though, as the other schools. So Miami, though, that one kid just, he barely, I mean, they were right there with one guy and one guy only. The rest of the team sucks.
Yeah, but there's other, like, we may just be seeing a shift in what we mean by blue blood, right? Because... USC hasn't even really gotten involved in this yet in a big way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. USC is the richest school in this country.
Yes.
That's not an Ivy League school. And I don't want to hear anything about tuition or class size or anything like that. USC is the richest private non-Ivy League school in this country.
It is.
Like, by a wide margin.
It's not even close.
Nobody's even close to them. And they haven't even really done much in the NIL game yet. They're here and there, right? But they haven't brought the full weight of that fucking university
to the table. Are you talking about endowment?
Like, yes.
Do they care?
It's not just endowment. Okay. It's not. No. I'm not talking about endowment. I'm talking about the people who graduated from that university.
There's a couple power conference schools that rank above them. Although,
rank in what way? What are you talking about? And talking about alumni that'll spend money? There's no fucking way.
I mean,
not one prayer. Every fucking Hollywood executive went to fucking USC. Every one of them.
George Lucas. Steven Spielberg.
I get that. Ron Howard. I think
the same argument with Stanford.
Stanford has a shit ton of people, including a billionaire in Tiger Woods. Sports billionaire they have from there.
But they don't care.
No, it's not that they don't care. There is no organization. So Dan and I have met with every school in the SEC, what was formerly known as the Pac-12 at this point, the Big Ten, fucking your school never returned the goddamn calls. Like, I can tell you who doesn't return calls and who doesn't have an NIL collective. USC is on that list. Stanford is also on that list. I don't really know why.
Yeah, nobody from the Alumni Association has stepped up and started the org yet. That's all it is.
Yeah.
At some point they will, and Stanford will be another one that's in play. I would say Stanford might be in the same ecosphere as USC, just because of the tech people, right? But mostly, you got to keep in mind, most of the tech people, a lot of people who work in tech went to Stanford. A lot of people who are tech startup people dropped out of Stanford. So we'll see if they want to actually fund that or not, mm-hmm. right? USC has a lot of graduates. People who graduated from the university, who went there for 4 or 5 or more years if they got a graduate degree.
Dr. Dre's, just get money. I mean, Jimmy Iovine.
Fucking Snoop's kid.
Yeah, it's nuts. The laundry
not,
list
not
is,
the one that played football, right, the other ones, right. Obviously.
I mean, Stanford's even football alumni are actually really fucking impressive, all things considered.
Yeah. You got McCaffrey, all those guys.
John Elway, both McCaffreys, actually, Ed and Christian. Mm. Andrew Luck, yeah.
If any kid is out there and they've been to Stanford, just on a recruiting trip or whatever, it's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful colleges there is in the United States.
Yeah, South
if they were
dope.
Good and God damn it, if they had a good team,
you don't even have to be good. All you have to have is like, didn't Andrew Luck go back to the team or something? What's he doing?
He's back there. I believe he's the GM, Bob.
Yeah, he's
if you
like
look
the GM.
Up.
So Andrew Luck, who is only, what, 35 years old?
Young
right
guy,
now?
Yeah.
Make some fucking calls and get some stuff there. I would love to see Stanford be a powerhouse in football.
Well, he just got hired a few days ago.
Aren't they in the fucking ACC now?
Yes, the Stanford Cardinal are in the Atlantic.
The ACC could very quickly become as competitive as the Big Ten or SEC with Belichick, with fucking people writing checks at Stanford. Just those two things.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to have Clemson plus Florida State, which they'll come back, right? You have Clemson plus Florida State, and Miami's committed to spending money as well.
And don't forget SMU got
SMU, for sure.
And Pitt. SMU and Pitt are quality teams. Like, there's quality teams just like the SEC has, but then you're going to have top-level teams willing to spend money. So it might be, honestly, if I'm Clemson right now, I'm not trying to get into the SEC. I'm trying to fucking tell Stanford, spend some money. I'm telling all the new schools, Cal, spend some money.
Mm-hmm.
Cal's got a couple of fucking people as well.
Oh, they get a ton.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to spend money on Cal. He's black-pilled on everything.
Cal needs to send an agent down to his next ayahuasca trip to kind of point him in a direction, maybe. Undercover as a shaman.
Just to incept him?
Yeah, literally, yes, to incept him.
I mean, but Jared Goff got a big contract. He could contribute.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but we're talking about you're gonna need to spend. We're still in the early days of it right now, where 20 mil is a lot of money, but you're gonna need to come up with 50 mil a year probably to be competitive
as it keeps going.
Like within
the next
5 years or so,
I agree. Now,
which is I think this is great because the only thing what's gonna really suffer are the outstanding players, not the players, but the schools in D2. That have outstanding players like Josh Allen at a fucking D2 school. That'll never happen again after this. He might play one season there and that'll be it.
Yes. And move on.
Yep. And they'll transfer him over. They'll pay him. That'll be the end of it. Right. So I guess in a way those schools are going to suffer for it, but the product that we see on the field is going to be quite a bit better. And it was this year. This is the best year of college football ever, in my opinion.
And what NIL, I think, the way it's going to undercut blue bloods, we've talked about this before, is you're not going to be able the Georgias and the Ohio States are not going to be able to stack the same amount of depth, right? Because kids are going to go get paid to play. Actually play at schools like Indiana or UCF or Missouri or whatever. Like, they can go play in big conferences on quality programs. They don't have to sit behind a guy for 3 years.
Yeah. And the only thing that's really going to separate them moving forward is just the prestige. And I don't know if that's going to be enough. Especially if you are a really good player, not a great, but a really good player who's probably not going to go to the NFL. You got to make money now. You're not staying as a second stringer on Georgia anymore.
No,
not
at all.
You can't afford to as a human being. You got to go make some money right
Same
quick.
Same with the kid from Penn State. Yeah. Like, that's going to be a value. Whoever is out there looking for a quarterback, that kid's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And he's going to go somewhere. But now you also have this trickle-down effect to high school as well. And you're seeing a lot of players and their parents in particular, and this is going to lead down to a video we're going to play here in a second, but parents know about NIL. Everybody knows about NIL. Kids know about NIL now, and they're starting earlier, and they're starting its exact positions and crazy shit that I've never seen before in my entire life. Case in point, we're putting up Christmas decorations at the house a couple weeks ago. It was a newspaper clipping and of like me from high school, and my kid, who's 10 years old, is like, "Hey, Dad, I want to do that." And I was like, "Cool, buddy. You don't really do that at that age because you only go for two. Nobody can kick that far or whatever as a kicker." And he goes, "Dad, there's a whole kickers subculture on YouTube." And he goes, I was like, "All right, show me." So he shows me all these crazy clips of these kickers and all this other shit. We'll cut to, there's ones for quarterbacks and everything else. These kids are starting to brand themselves at an early age so they can get NIL money and everything else. So I talked to my wife about it, and I was like, "What do you do here? Like, the kid wants to start a YouTube channel, and he wants to build up a brand and everything else to potentially play, get NIL money." And I'm like, I don't know what the fucking answer is as a parent. So I took him out to the field, just taught him the techniques of it. I didn't think he'd even make it, to be honest with you, to try to get over a bar because they didn't even have it at that age. And when I walked out there, there was a quarterback's coach out there on the high school field. There was two quarterback's coaches, and these guys are really expensive. But they were with middle schoolers and high schoolers, and there was eight of them. And so I told my kid, he looks down there and he goes, "What are they doing?" And I go, "They're trying to become the quarterback for their high school team right now. Their parents are paying for these coaches to get them to be the quarterbacks at these high schools." But I go, "There's eight of them. there's only one per high school that's going to start and play and all that other shit. But parents are already spending the money on this to get it going. I took my kid out there just to see what would happen. And here, play the result because he wanted to do it here.
Coach Patterson, I'm 10 years old, and I'm about to kick a high school extra point.
The music's cleared, by the way. This was the kick from Ohio State, for Christ's sakes, that he missed in Michigan. Crushed it. So it got to the point where he made, I don't know, 5-6 in a row. High school coach comes down, and I didn't know he was there on the field that day. He was watching the quarterbacks already with their quarterback coaches. There was an NFL player there as well with his son, an ex-NFLer. I'm not going to say who it is. His kid looked like he was in 7th or 8th grade, and he looked like a wonder boy compared to the other people. And I was like, well, shit, we can already tell who's starting there. High school coach comes down, and he says, hey, how old is your kid? I said, he's 10 years old. And he goes, why is he doing this? And I go, because there's 8 of them doing that down there. And everybody wants to be the goddamn quarterback. Nobody wants to do this, right? And he goes, that's unbelievably smart. How can he do this? And I go, I don't really know, but I can teach him the techniques and get it going. Went home, told my wife, obviously he wants to start a YouTube channel and do all that shit. We agreed to it. However, he can't upload on his own. It's only me. I think the video has already got like 600 views. In like, I don't know, 12 hours or whatever it is. But as a parent, I don't know that I'm doing the right thing here for a 10-year-old.
I don't know. That's Quinn Ewers didn't have he did have a YouTube channel, actually. But the reason he got paid so much money isn't because of how good of a quarterback he was. It's because of his name.
And the mullet.
The branding.
The branding. Like the mullet. Mm-hmm. When he went to Ohio State at 17 years old, he was the kid out of Texas with the blonde mullet and the beard. And I saw him on social media. But this is what all of this is turning into. Like, my 10-year-old wants to, because he doesn't watch the show either. I don't even let him watch the shows, for Christ's sakes. But this is what they want to do now, is start branding earlier just to get into this NIL world or have a YouTube channel and all that other stuff. And again, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, because what happens if they fail?
Then you delete the channel. Who cares?
I guess so.
Most people fail.
I guess so, but you know, if you put that much time and effort into it and everything else, it's just weird as a parent.
You're learning. This is the thing about pretty much everything you do as an adolescent. Yeah, you're playing a sport, but you're also learning the hard skills and soft skills that come along with that, right? This is what I try to tell people getting out of the military all the time. Like, your job wasn't just to be a shooter. You were a trainer. You were a fucking student. Like, you were a mentor. You're able to operate in chaos. You learned a lot of soft and hard skills during that process. So it doesn't matter if you actually end up doing that specific thing or not. Right? Like, you learn from this perspective, he's going to learn how to make content, which is pretty valuable.
And that's what I thought too, right? And he already know how to do it and look in the camera because that's all they watch. That's all our kids watch, is YouTube and then their favorite YouTubers and all that stuff. They don't watch TV shows anymore, which is fine. Like, it's not even like a boomer comment to make. But as this is going along here, I'm seeing more and more kids do this, more and more parents getting their kids involved in this. And I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Pull this up, Bob.
Worst case scenario.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what happens.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Your son, you know, becomes Aaron Rodgers.
Is that great, Bob? You know, and by the way, the reason I brought this up to just all of you guys in general is for your kids, Bob, because how old is your kids?
3 and 1 and negative 4 months.
So what I've seen just coaching my kids all throughout the years and everybody else's kids is a lot of parents are now specializing in one sport, one specific position at like 5 to 6 years old.
I've heard that happening for a while. And coaches, like, I always hear coaches like through the grapevine say it's bad. Like that's the good athlete, better athletes don't specialize.
They play multiple sports.
Yeah, the best example of that currently is Pat Mahomes being able to throw at any fucking arm angle imaginable. Same with Matt Stafford, both of whom played shortstop up through high school baseball.
Yeah, and I agree. So my kid is in the one I just saw. He's in jiu-jitsu and soccer. So he's got 3 sports that are going on. Baseball he kind of checked out of because it is gangster here in Texas, and you got to start at like fucking 3 years old. I mean, it's nuts. They're dipping. They're already putting ends in at fucking 3 years old, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, there was some other kids that were playing out there, and I was like, my God, yeah. man. But with that, when you and I were growing up, and Delco and everybody else, we played rec league.
I played everything.
So did I. Played all the sports, mm-hmm. and now...
I didn't play football.
Parents aren't doing that as much anymore.
I always found football to be boring, to be honest.
No, I understand.
But I played soccer, basketball, and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of high level professional athletes have played multiple sports in college. Maybe not professionally. Like Jim Brown played lacrosse. He was like an all American lacrosse player. Dave Winfield was a baseball player or a basketball player and a football player. And then, let's see, Dion played both in college, but he played both pro. Julius Peppers played basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
I think Dion actually did three in college. He did track and field.
Yeah, same thing with Tyreek Hill, by the way. And then, of course, Russell Wilson played baseball.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. So did, I think, maybe Jameis, too.
He may have. Yeah, but even guys back in the day, like Tony Gwynn lettered 3 years in baseball in college. Danny Ainge played baseball for the Blue Jays.
Yep.
A lot of those guys. Fucking Macho Man Randy Savage played baseball in the Reds organization.
Oh, you're goddamn right. The cream of the crop. Yeah, cream of the crop.
Easily goes all the way through college. And then you got a lot of, I mean, dude, half the fucking kickers in the NFL, like, what's his name for the Chiefs? Bucker. He was a college soccer player.
Yes. Yeah.
The punter for the Seahawks, Dixon, who I was at the bowl game where he is such a good punter. He won MVP.
Yeah.
For UT. Yeah. He's Australian rules football.
Yeah. There's a bunch. Actually, I would guess like 99% of high school kickers and punters are soccer players.
That was the only reason. So I played both. And my coach had said, hey, dude, I heard you play on the soccer team. I was like, yeah. And he goes, we don't have a punter or a kicker. And I was like, he goes, can you do it? And I was like, yeah, I guess. How?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of taught myself. We didn't have any specialty coaches or any of that bullshit. Well, but it's a strange world. And then what do you say? Go follow my 10-year-old on YouTube. He came up with like a branding name too.
Well, there's a bunch.
No, I know.
There's
but
a bunch of young.
It feels odd.
There's a bunch of young kids who do exceptional things at their age that blow up on YouTube. I mean, it's not just that Chinese kid opening Christmas presents. There's a I can't remember what his name is, but there's this Asian kid that plays guitar, like finger style guitar. He's incredible.
Oh yeah. I know you're talking about.
Young or some shit.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Name.
Just search Asian kids fingering. You'll find it.
Yeah, I think that's the way you should definitely not search for that.
Yeah, definitely don't do that or you go to jail.
But then there's let's see. There's a kid that's a drummer that's really young, that's super popular that has millions of followers on social media. I mean, that's just a thing now.
It is. It just feels odd. And as a parent, you hope you're doing the right thing. And it's just a totally different world now. Where you're like. Okay, but the fact that 10-year-olds know what NIL money is bananas to me. And here we are in this world of college football where everything revolves around this. And not only that, for Penn State in particular, because again, the guy from Ohio State sucks in my opinion, so I don't give a fuck about him. But the guy for Penn State, though, you're in the playoffs, man. He is extremely valuable, and it's going to be brutally cold here this Saturday. If Aller goes down, you are now fucked, and you had a great backup player there that could have easily get you through SMU and Boise if something happens to Aller there. So it sucks, man. And they've got to figure all this out and change the rules quickly here, or all this is going to get out of hand. We'll get to the picks here in a second. As always, they're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. They got Reward Plus programs now over there. Shit, I'm in them. A little rake back. Well, I took a beating this weekend. I had Bills money line, which is great, and then the rest of it not so great. I had a shit ton of parlays there. And it was the Steelers who fucked me, by the way. I could have won a shit ton of money. The Steelers couldn't cover 12.5 against the Eagles.
Real shame.
12.5, bro. Like, man, I was pissed off
about
it.
Hate to see it.
So pissed off about it. Otherwise, man, I could have taken home close to $4,000. That one, Russell Wilson, I deserve it. I also deserve that tattoo that's coming my way. Jonathan Taylor, you piece of shit. I hope that lives with you forever. I hope you guys don't make the playoffs because of this. And yeah, dude, it was a Leon Lett moment for him. I turned the fucking channel. You're supposed to be up 20-7. But go head on over there right now because you can bet on all the odds for this. And if you believe your favorite team is out there and that can win the national championship, anybody's got a shot here at this point, especially with Georgia's quarterback being out. There's a lot of weird injuries out there. I think, what do you think? Notre Dame is probably the best sprinkle right now.
Nah, dude. You get Boise at decent money? Let's go.
60-1, Boise.
I already have
Morgan ticket. I love Gen Z. I love them. And I love Boise State. You know that. That's a tall task there.
Every round you feel like they can get past is makes the money better. And Boise State could very easily. Yeah, they have a bye, so they already get one round.
They get Penn State.
And then they could beat Penn State or SMU. That is not out of the question. So then they're in the Final Four, and then it's, you know, you start flipping coins.
Yeah.
You think Boise can beat Penn State?
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do not personally, just because of Penn State's defense, but that's it. I think the game will be close.
I think Penn State's defense is dramatically overrated.
I do not.
It definitely is.
Oregon is that good. You've seen them in real life. I mean, the speed on the outside, they're just so fucking fast, man. It's hard. It's a very tough offense to defend. And especially if you're seeing it for the first time like they were, bro, it's tough, man.
I've seen it against Bowling Green, right, where they sucked. I've seen it against certainly Oregon. USC dropped 30 on them. USC sucks. They're not good.
They're not terrible.
They gave up 25 to Minnesota. They barely won that game. They're not that good.
Okay. Well, we'll get to it. So if you believe, let's say you believe in Penn State out there, and you're unlike him, sprinkle Penn State.
Are we Boise. Potentially sleeping on Arizona State?
We'll get there.
Well, they're not playing this week.
No, but I know. I understand, though. But yeah, bet on Arizona State if you want to. Sprinkle it on that. What is that? What's that on my bookie? What are they coming in at?
They're like 40-1.
I don't think that's a terrible bet.
I don't think it's terrible.
Getting by teams at that long of odds is not bad.
I agree. That's not a terrible one. I think they're more legit than like a SMU or a Boise.
They're 11-1 with their quarterback.
I know. Yeah. I think they're more legit than those two teams.
And the fifth place Heisman finisher as well. Scatabu
finished fifth.
He was fifth.
Why didn't they just bring him up on stage?
Are you going to bring six, seven,
no,
eight?
No. But they only had four. So why not bring five just so he gets to go?
They fucking milked this thing. The night before the Heisman ceremony, they released the top 10. I've never seen this.
Me neither. So if you're going to do it, have five on stage. And at least you can go home with that and be like, all right, great. I was invited. It was awesome. And that's a life memory. But they didn't do that. And then Hunter won. That was on my bookie and all that other stuff. But they got tons to bet on, including Saturday games. So we got Saturday NFL games. Do not forget about that. We got the NFL show coming up this week. But there is two games on Saturday. And right now, sources are saying that Pat Mahomes has a high ankle sprain. That is the Chiefs game on Saturday. I don't think he'll probably play that game.
I mean, what's the purpose of it? You know what I mean? To be honest, they got Carson Wentz, and just in case there's a nagging injury down the stretch and they need to put him in, even in the playoffs, you want to get him some fucking reps before the season's over.
You got a two – well, no. You got a – yeah, you've got essentially a two-game lead. Yeah. On the Bills.
And they've got Denver last game of the season, which is one they can easily mop up. To be honest, I think – I probably hold Mahomes out for a game or two.
So do I.
Like I might keep him out for the next two and just let him play the last one, maybe, since they're going to get a bye anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks off after that, may as well.
Also, the Texans are kind of soft.
The Texans defense is pretty good, but aside from that, like their offense is not clicking anymore. I mean, they don't have any players.
They do. Most of them came back, but hey, they beat the Dolphins.
The Dolphins suck,
man.
The Dolphins have no defense at all.
What the fuck, bro? I 9.5. Don't even get me started on the fucking Dolphins this weekend. But yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But those games are going up against the college games. So if you want to parlay those NFL games and the college games on Saturday, that's going to be fucking fun as shit, which we've never been able to do before. So looking forward to that. If you want tickets to any of these, tickets are surprisingly cheap, man. If you want lowers for Ohio State, it's like $300. Now, it's because the weather's going to be 10 degrees, and nobody wants to stand out in that bullshit, but that's fine. go get the tickets for $300 for a playoff game. Lowers right behind the fucking, you can get them 8 rows behind Ohio State's bench if you want to. I looked it up right before we came on air there. Head on over to drinkitbrostickets.com. NFL games are cheap. Playoffs are pretty cheap right now. And you can go and see your favorite teams and see home games that you would never get to see before. It's the first time in history. So that's a blast. Last but not least, if you're tailgating out there, grab some Hard AF Seltzer. Grab a 12-pack today. We're live in 12 states. Go to hardafseltzer.com. The store locator is up and it's rocking. Shit, man, just enter your city or zip and it'll take you to the closest location nearest you. If you're out there drinking it, tagging us, buying it for the holidays and whatnot, and you want to invest in the company, if you love it, go to wefunder.com/hardafseltzer. We have left 30% of the company open to you to actually take ownership in. That way, if you are posting it, sharing it with everybody, you actually own it. And that's a blast. We got 4 more states opening up in the spring with that, and we've been hiring a ton of employees over there to get things really fucking ramped up for the company. And we've actually hired a ton of our listeners. So it's been great. And Ryan Mills, we'll see you on Thursday down there. All right, let's get to the games here. God, this is weird. So we got one on Friday nights. Friday night's up first.
Yeah.
Notre Dame against Indiana. Notre Dame has home field advantage here. This is Notre Dame -7.5. Who you got, D'Anthony?
Yeah, Notre Dame is going to wreck Indiana.
I think so, too. Man, who was Indiana's toughest game? Ohio State. So at that point in the season, Ohio State had already lost all their offensive line, and Ohio State still trashed this fucking team. Mm. And, like, I just don't see how they're going to beat Notre Dame. I don't. The only thing is that half a point for me. Like, in case it is a 7-point game, great. Give me the push, and I'll take that. I'm going to take that in all my teasers and everything else. But looking at Indiana's schedule for the year here, and there was nobody even close to Notre Dame or to the caliber except for Ohio State. And Ohio State kicked the shit out of them with no team. So I just don't see how they pull this off. Marcus Freeman, by the way, just signed a massive extension there for Notre Dame. So he is going to stay as the head coach for a while. Bob, who you got in this one?
I'm taking the Hoosiers in the biggest game in the history of Indiana football. First off, I'm not convinced that it's going to be that much of a home advantage for Notre Dame. I think this stadium's going to be packed with Indiana fans.
There's plenty of Notre Dame fans that are Indiana basketball fans.
And also, there are a lot. Yeah. Basically, you in that state, you grow up a Notre Dame football fan and an Indiana basketball fan. Indiana has more alums, so maybe some of those T-shirt fans turn their T-shirt inside out for this game, if you know what I mean.
They
maybe.
Do the half jersey.
Yeah, maybe. Right.
Secondly, I kind of like the weather favoring Indiana. It's going to be cold. It's going to be, I think Indiana's tougher than Notre Dame.
I mean, look, they're both in the same state. So the weather is the same for both schools.
I agree with that. I'm just saying I like tough conditions for a tough team. Indiana, look, they weren't ready for what Ohio State was bringing. Cignetti's not getting clowned twice in the same year. Do I think they're going to win the championship? No, but I think this is, it's so hard to overstate for people who don't understand what this means for the football program, what winning this game means for the football program for the next 10 to 15 years. This is a program changing game. This is a must win game.
I completely agree. I just don't know how they do it.
They're not going to.
I know.
They're going to lose by 80 in this game.
I think they could lose by 2 or 3 touchdowns in this game.
I just don't think Notre Dame has the horses to do that.
What about you, Delco?
Decent enough team. I think Notre Dame wins the game, but Indiana's going to cover that.
But if Notre Dame runs the ball a lot. If they just slow it down against Indiana, I just don't see how they can do it.
Notre Dame's starting running back is averaging 7.1 a carry. Mm-hmm. There's no, it's like we're being delusional. And Riley Leonard can run the ball too. Like we're being delusional here.
Against who?
It doesn't matter.
Notre Dame schedule's the fuck, not the fuck that good.
Who, but who is Indiana against? Play? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's no. I don't think Indiana's played a great schedule at all. But neither has Notre Dame.
Notre Dame hasn't really played that well of a schedule. Like Texas A&M early on, sure.
Week 1, yeah. I mean, it's if you don't discount a week 1 win anymore,
close game or a week 1 loss, like they beat Georgia Tech. That's probably one.
But even Navy's. You watch that Army Navy game on Saturday.
Yeah, Navy beat the shit out of Army.
Yeah, they did. Army was ranked, really fucking good team all year. Notre Dame kicked the shit out of Navy, 51-14.
Army was frauds.
I get it, but then they beat Army as well. So Notre Dame played Army as well, was 49-14 in that game. Louisville, because you guys love them, I fucking hate them. But if you want to put the Louisville game on there, they won that too.
Louisville just has athletes. They always do. So it's always a tough out, even when they suck. That's the problem with them.
Texas A&M, they beat Georgia Tech. Now, granted, it was without Georgia Tech's quarterback. So
I think I see this going similar to the Indiana-Michigan game.
Which was?
It
was
20-15.
20-15.
Indiana won. Indiana won.
Yeah, okay. But I would say reverse. Like, Notre Dame wins 20-15.
So I think it's a... Again, I'm going to drop it a half a point. I think it could be a one-score game, but my gut tells me this is two or three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Same as you.
Notre Dame's got three guys with more than 600 yards rushing, including the quarterback. They're just going to jam up Indiana all day long. This isn't going to be much of a contest.
I agree. All right, we'll get to the Saturday games here. By the way, quick reminder, these games are on TNT and TBS, which is also weird. I don't know who's calling them. Do we know even who's announcing these games over there?
Doesn't Gus Johnson do March Madness for TNT, TBS, CBS?
God, I would love it. He got bought out by Fox. I don't know what the deal is in Fox, but give me Gus Johnson all day, and I hope he's calling that Ohio State game at least. But I don't know who's over there.
I like Turner Sports.
So do I. I do too. I'm a big fan, and they're leaving next year. So it sucks because the NBA deal is up and they're selling to somebody. I forget who. But also for Turner, it was probably a smart move. NBA ratings are down 48% this year.
Yeah, they got hockey.
Yeah, they got the NHL as well. Yep.
And they
do a great job. I think Gretzky does their after
they do have,
after show.
They do have St. Louis resident Wayne Gretzky on their post-game show.
Yeah, dude. Does he live there?
He lives in St. Louis.
Why?
I don't know.
Gross.
Yeah, he never played there.
He played there for half a year. Have you not seen me wear my Blues Wayne Gretzky sweater
here?
When
did he play for the Blues? What season?
He was a trade deadline acquisition in the 95-96 season.
Oh, God.
My God, man. Okay. And then he's just loved it that much, huh?
Dude, fucking apparently.
That's wild. All right. I never knew it. So first game up is SMU at Penn State. This is Penn State -8.5. This is the early morning. This is the noon game on Saturday. Who you got, D'Anthony?
I think 8.5 is too much.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, SMU will... Penn State can't fucking score, man. They suck. And SMU runs the ball really well. So if anybody's going to control the clock in this game... Also, SMU has explosive potential on offense that Penn State doesn't have. Penn State's number one receiver, by the way, who is also their third-string quarterback. Is their tight end.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So he's the backup now in case.
I guess. I don't know who else on the roster would be. They have a couple of red shirts that they could throw in.
Yeah. Warren finished like 7th in the Heisman.
Yeah. He's really good.
Okay.
But I don't know what year he is actually. I think he's a senior. So he'll probably be a first round draft pick, to be honest. But 8.5 points. No, I wouldn't do that.
I watched Penn State drop 37 on Oregon, and I was just like, okay.
Oregon's defense is terrible. Like, their front seven's good, but their secondary is bad. If you're getting beat by it, Derek Wolf, whenever he's on the show, talks to us all the time. If a quarterback can move, you've got to keep him contained. Your defensive ends can't cut back inside, even if you're going to get a sack. It's better to stay outside and push that offensive lineman into the quarterback and keep him in the pocket than it is to let him get out. Right. Oregon made that mistake all day long. Yeah. And by the way, SMU's running back Smith is really good.
Like, okay.
They can fucking play. They can play against this Penn State team. I think 8.5 is too much.
Okay. For me, yes, Penn State all day in this game. I don't believe in this team. I finally watched one entire game of SMU. I was not impressed at all with this team. And going up to this weather here, where it's 28 degrees at kick there. Have fun in that stadium. That will probably be the biggest stadium they've ever played in.
I don't know. Death Valley and Clemson's pretty big.
Do they play there?
I don't know if they played there this year.
That was in Panther Stadium.
Yeah.
So it's probably smaller, actually.
Yeah, Panther Stadium is smaller
than 60K, maybe.
Yeah. So that crowd, noon game, they're fired up. Up there, no. I think Penn State wins this by 2-3 touchdowns. Mm.
You should never give the benefit of the doubt to Franklin.
It's not that. Franklin wins the games he's supposed to, and then he loses the games he's supposed to, too. So this is a game he's supposed to win. He'll win this game. And I think it's probably 35-21. That's my prediction on this. Bob, who you got?
Give me my fucking ponies. Boy. They're going to come out inspired after that loss, that heartbreaking loss in the ACC championship game. Here's why I have some questions about the home field advantage. Actually, before I get to the home field advantage, it's 28 degrees, but it's clear, right? Uh-huh. I think it'll be cloudy, but it'll be clear. There's not, so it's they should be able to throw the ball just fine. They should be able to keep their high flying offense going relatively fine. And they do have a good running back as well. Secondly, tickets as low as $62. Are the Penn State fans showing up to this game?
So that's a great question.
Penn State Stadium fits 110,000 people, my friend.
It does, but still. I mean, usually, let's take Texas State is 69 points. Take the Ohio State game. The cheapest ticket in that stadium is $136 for the last row in the stadium. I don't know. And that, I guess that's my bigger overall question with these playoffs in particular, because we made a big deal of this all year round about getting a home playoff game. Do people care? Do the fans care? I don't know. I don't know the answer right
yes.
now.
I think it's new, man. I don't know that anybody, the first round of a new type of playoffs, is that the most exciting thing that you're going to see?
It's
exciting for SMU. It's exciting for Arizona State, for Boise, for teams that aren't traditionally in this sort of position.
Well, Penn State's never been in a playoff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But Penn State considers themselves good. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're conditioned in a certain way to not be overamped about this particular game.
Also, how much it feels like it might be difficult to get up for an 11 a.m. game when it's 28 degrees.
Well,
like
it's noon there. It's only 11 here. It's a traditional noon game for Penn State. They play these all the time, and that's fine. And I think SMU, the time slot is fine too. It's this quarterback. Has he gripped a ball in weather like this that's 28 degrees? Because it is way fucking different.
Not this season.
Will there be a line at the Creamery?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because it's still Pennsylvania.
You
got to
crush ice cream at 28 degrees.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Just to say you did it at that point. But gripping a ball in this weather is tough if you're not used to it. Going into a stadium of 110,000 people that is loud as shit. We've been there many, many times over the years. I don't see how SMU comes out of this. Yeah. Are you saying the points, Bob? Are you saying SMU will beat them straight up?
SMU wins this game. I also love the over, by the way. Penn State's been scoring a lot of points lately.
They have.
37, 44, 26, 49, 35 on teams like, I mean, Purdue sucks, but on Washington, on, I mean, Maryland kind of sucks too.
Oregon,
even 26 on Minnesota is solid.
SMU does not have the dudes in the trenches. Penn State's going to bully the fuck out of them.
That's what I think, too.
I think this guy's, unless he did in high school and he is from Oak Cliff, Texas. No, he's never played in cold weather.
Ever.
Not ever. Not unless it was a fucking, wait, let me see where this game was. He did play in a bowl game last year at the Fenway Bowl.
That's in Boston.
Yeah, so he was not good. No, it's 24 for 48, but.
Oh, yeah, that's 50%. What did he throw for?
191.
Yeesh.
On 48 attempts.
Yeah.
That's
not good.
No, but he can run the ball.
And maybe they do that. and they got a decent running back there. But, man, Penn State's run game is great. I'm all on Penn State on this one. And I'll take this straight up. I'm going to be teasing all this bullshit, too, like on the day. But right now, yeah, give me that 8.5 and give me that over, too. Like you said, Penn State's been scoring a lot of points. Bob. I like that over as well. And this will be our first chance to kind of see what a Southern team does in winter weather like this, which was the excitement preseason of like, all right, well, what'll happen when they go up there? Next up is Clemson at Texas. This is the 4 o'clock game. This game says it's also available on HBO. If you don't have TNT, you can watch this on HBO, which is fucking weird to me. Or Max, sorry. Sorry, Max. Still rolls right off the tongue there.
A lot of these broadcasts simulcast now. That happens with hockey. Like when there's an NHL game on TNT, it's simulcast on True TV.
Well, they own it. Yeah. So TNT owns True TV.
Yeah, but okay. It's just like, why is it on two fucking channels? And it's the same broadcast.
I know. I probably programming. They have nothing else to put on, and it's cheaper that way. But next up, the weather will not be an issue in this one. This is Clemson at Texas. I mean, shit. What is it, 70 here today? It's going to be 57 at kick, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Weather's fine in this one. It's big boy spread, though. Jesus. Texas minus 11.5. Dan, who you got?
That's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas is pretty good. I think I would. This is mostly going to be something that I hope happens, which is to end Dabo's career, that Texas is beats them by 2 touchdowns and embarrasses them.
I don't think with everything that's going on in college football that we talked about at the top of the show, I don't think you can afford to lose Dabo at Clemson.
Why? He's not a good coach.
Who would replace him?
I don't know. But, you know, there's always somebody waiting in the wings. I think the results with him are in. Like, if you want to be a competitor in the top 5 moving forward, this is not the guy.
He's gone to the playoffs almost every single year.
Including this one. In this new format, he would have. He would have gone. He goes, right? But not in the old one. And barely.
He's right? been in the
By the skin of
lot.
His teeth.
He's won 2 national championships.
Without Syracuse, he's not even in the fucking conversation.
Hey, I still did it. And that's, look, I'm going to have to get a fucking Broncos tattoo, even though I think that team sucks. Like, it's weird, but they're in again. And yeah, dude, I think in this new format, if Bill Belichick is going to UNC, I don't understand who would replace him.
I don't know. I mean, there's always new coaches, right? Like, and you got to start somewhere. It's like, at what point do you realize that this isn't good enough for what we're trying to do and move on and just start over, right? And this happens in professional sports too, and not with coaches necessarily always, but with your team as well. Like, at what point is it time to blow this shit up? He hasn't been good since his coordinators left, right? They haven't been good at particularly anything since his coordinators left. And he's won 2 titles, sure, and he's one of, what, 2 coaches in college football that even have a title at this point?
I believe so.
So that's a bullet on your resume, but he's done it with 2 generationally talented quarterbacks. And anytime he hasn't had one of those 2 guys, it's not worked out.
Well, let's ask you guys, if Dabo got fired tomorrow and Mizzou picked him off or UCF picked him off, would you say yes or no to that hire?
I like our current coach, so I'd be bummed. I would not want Dabo Swinney over Drink.
Really?
Yeah, well, Drink's leaving anyways.
Yeah. He's probably going to leave. But
going to a real school.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he's not – Dabo doesn't – he hasn't adapted to the new system yet. He just got his first transfer ever, I think. Like, he doesn't
He'll
hit the portal.
Figure it out.
I don't – but I do think he's a good
Nick
coach.
Nick Saban retired because he didn't want to do it.
I know. And Urban Meyer said he's not coming back because of this bullshit.
Yeah, I just think Dabo's an old school guy, and he doesn't want to fucking change at this point. And they're going to have, because it's Clemson and it's a major university and they've had success in the past, he'll get recruits and they'll do pretty well, but they'll never win another title.
This will be his 7th playoff appearance.
Yeah, they'll never win. They'll never win
a lot, though.
They'll never win another title with him.
But I think you have to realize what your school is, what your budget is, everything else now.
Clemson has a big budget.
Yeah.
They can spend money.
He wins the ACC every year. Like,
yeah.
Not anymore.
Yes,
well, he won this year.
Literally no, I'm
won.
Saying not anymore after Belichick comes into UNC.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Bill's going to fucking flame out after 2 years. Belichick's not going to be a good college coach. He's going to hate it.
I don't know the answer. It's all bizarre to me. But you really wouldn't take him over Drink, huh?
Not
or Scott
currently.
Frost?
I would not give up on my sweet, sweet boy, Scott Frost.
Oh, boy.
If Drink left, I'd be fine with taking a flyer on Dabo. For sure.
A flyer on a 2-time national championship coach.
But I mean, like, that doesn't always work out. Les Miles went to Kansas, and it was fucking horrible.
But
fucking
it's Kansas.
Mac Brown went to UNC, who we're just talking about. Bill Belichick's going to crush there. And Mac Brown was fucking horrible. Goddamn Jimbo Fisher. Goddamn.
Had,
I mean,
Mac Brown had UNC at a decent spot with Drake May and those guys.
For one
like,
year. And
I know.
Then it was.
It would be more of a Jimbo Fisher situation.
Yeah, which also bad.
Yeah.
Do you give Jimbo Fisher everything? Everything.
Yeah.
By the way, Mac Brown liked a Street Gonzo video on our Instagram.
Isn't that wild? Even Mac Brown loves Street Gonzo. Super weird. All right, 11.5 points. Yes, I'm taking Texas. We've seen both of these teams in real life. I think that front seven of Texas is nasty, and Clemson does not have the dudes to protect Klubnik. I think Texas wins by two scores. Mm. Bob, who you got?
I think Clemson covers. I think this is going to be a tight game. I think Texas hasn't played many teams as good as Clemson all year, if any team as good as Clemson all year, other than Georgia, who they lost to. This is probably the third best team. Or no,
Texas A&M.
I think
at
Clemson's,
A&M in a night game.
That's fair. I think that's that's probably about the same game. I think Clemson's better than Texas A&M, and I think Clemson's going to keep it really close. You know what, man? Fuck this. I'm just going to have the balls to say it. Clemson goes into Austin and wins the fucking game.
Let's go.
Is that real?
Fuck this. I'm trying to hedge. Yes, Clemson wins this game on the field.
Clemson outright.
Two dogs.
I'll tell
you. Are you saying that too, Delco?
Yeah, dude. I want to piss off Chris Phelan in the chat, really. But yeah, no, fuck him. Fuck Texas. Clemson wins the game.
Let me say this. I would love for that to happen. I don't think it will.
I will
applaud with you should that happen, because for all the reasons you said, actually, the same stuff.
I think we've got
even funnier if it happened here.
Oh God, in Austin, it would be.
And by the way,
would Sark be fired?
What are those? Look at. By the way, this is how you know. Fuck Texas fans. Fuck Texas fans. What is that ticket price right now?
$69.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, man. And it's a nice day, too. It's 57. It's beautiful. It's like a nice pullover. Shit, dude. It's going to be a beautiful day there.
The tickets are $500 at Notre Dame.
I know.
They're $100 in winter weather at Ohio State.
I know. Let me ask you this, because I think Texas is going to win, but just for the sake of saying it. Do they fire Sark if he loses?
No.
Okay.
He'll get a little more rope for sure. But, like, here's the thing about Texas. Like, these people do not understand what their program is. It is not as prestigious as they think it is. And this price reflects. They think they're too goddamn good to show up to a first-round playoff game. At home!
It's cheap. It's cheap on drinkingbrostickets.com if you want them. Here's the other question I have for you guys regarding Texas. Because here's where things start to get really interesting. You start looking at the big board for Mel Kiper and where you're going and the quarterbacks and all that other shit. Drew Aller looked at his chances and he said, I'm coming back. I'm way down the board and I'm not going to get drafted high. I'm going to come back for one more year. Ewers is currently 7 on the big board right now. The 7th best quarterback. I don't know what number that'll go and I don't know what kind of money that is. Should he come back? And if he does, what happens to Arch Manning?
That's not a first round pick.
Yeah, does Arch transfer?
That's the thing. Because he's not sitting one more year. There's just no fucking way.
I got to tell you, if I'm Sark and the org, I'm telling him to go to the draft. Because you ain't playing here next year, brother.
Would that force him to like an Oregon or a Notre Dame?
No, I'm talking about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to get the fuck out.
He's going to transfer. So
you guys think he will?
One of them would, right?
One of them has to.
It ain't going
to
be
so what do you do?
Arch is the better player. Like, that's just a fact, right?
Arch is higher ceiling, which is crazy to say because Texas has been excellent the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But
Arch is dynamic, dual threat. He's got a better arm. Not as good of a passer yet, but he does have a better arm. So we'll see how that develops. Again, he's a Manning, so you would think it would develop pretty well.
Honestly, my dream scenario, though, is Arch transfers to North Carolina.
I was just going to say that.
And it's just like a total fuck you to Brady.
Archie reached down into the NFL. Archie reached down into the NFL and said, no, we're not going to San Diego. Okay? Fuck off. So if anybody would do it, that family would, certainly.
And at UNC in the ACC with Belichick and Manning, they would probably win the ACC. I mean, they would probably get a bye next year. I mean, it's that easy
for
them.
He would have to do it now, though, to be honest, because you have to give Belichick time to be like, hey, Arch is coming over here. You're a receiver, 4-star, 5-star. You're coming with us, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, it ain't going to happen.
What round do they currently have Ewers going in?
Let me check. But, I mean, 7th pick would be 2nd or 3rd round.
Yeah, like 3rd or 4th.
Ooh, that money's not great. He's making more in NIL.
You will make more in college, certainly.
He's making more in NIL. Why would you leave? Like,
I don't know.
Why risk it?
If where you're slotted to go, what if it's like the Cowboys or
if it's a situation where you can see the field and then maybe you get like a Tony Romo type of situation, right? Like where you
but making this much money in NIL, why do you take less to go in the third round? I'll put it this way. Let's take Jackson Smith and Jigma, for example. Top wide receiver taken in the draft. He went at 21 or 20, I think, in that draft, and he made his contract total was $16.5 million, which is equivalent to like $4.5 million a year. He made the exact same amount in NIL money as a first rounder. What the fuck? If you're Quinn Ewers, you're probably worth $9 million at Oregon, $10 million at Oregon.
Bring him back. Bring him back to Ohio State.
Oh, Quinn Ewers? Man, that'd be hilarious. But yeah, that's what makes all of this so fucking wild.
So the average NFL backup quarterback, the average, made $4.8 million last year.
Okay. He's making, what, $9, $10 million?
So, but you got to balance it with the value of being able to get to a good team, right? Let's say he... Let's say he fucking balls out next year and he's the number one draft pick, makes 13 mil signing bonus, all that shit, right? And he ends up on a shit team for the next 4 to 5 years and gets his shit pushed in on a team with no offensive line and no running back, kind of like Joe Burrow, right? Joe Burrow got his big contract extension, but it's a miracle he's still alive.
Yeah.
And let's be real here. Quinn Ewers is nowhere close to Joe Burrow talent-wise.
No.
So you put him on a team like that, you get Kenny Pickett. Right.
Yeah.
And he fucking melts into obscurity. Even if this motherfucker can stick around and have a couple of good seasons in the NFL on a decent team and just become a career fucking backup, he's still going to make way more money doing that than he would coming out of the draft later on at a higher pick.
And he's making his NIL deals are worth $1.7 million right now.
Yeah, that's like officially on the books. But there's all that shit I can tell you behind the scenes is all unaccounted for. And they're trying to come up with a better system for it. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah, because the rumor is word on the street somewhere in that 8 range back there. But we'll see what happens. It's certainly interesting, though, because I don't know if he would. I don't know if he would want to go in the third round. Oregon's going to have a spot open next year.
I mean, it could be an ego thing, too, but that would be a mistake. Like, you got to realize who you are. Quinn Ewers is not a fucking... He's not anywhere close to being ready for the NFL.
I agree.
Like, in no conceivable universe is he ready for the NFL. But neither are any of the other guys in this draft, frankly.
Maybe Cam Ward, that's like...
Cam Ward is not anywhere close to being ready for the NFL. Like, he'll create some space for himself because of his ability to run a little bit, right? But no way. Progression reading and all that stuff, he's going to get fucking wrecked in his first year.
And by the way, shitty Miami team, though.
And he's going to go to a shitty Giants team because they're going to have the first pick and they're taking him.
That's true.
And by the way, this is another reason I love Clemson, because this is the type of shit that's being talked about at Texas right now. Ain't nobody talking about Cade Klubnik. Cade's job is safe.
It is. It is.
And Cade, by the way, had a better year than yours.
He did.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking. Look,
probably commensurate competition, too.
33-5. 33 touchdowns, 5 interceptions there. That's pretty goddamn good for Klubnik. But yeah, I think Texas wins by 2 touchdowns. It's simply the defense. Those guys are massive over there for Texas, and I think they'll wear them down. All right, last game is a toss-up to me, and this is where I'm real curious about the weather. This was the one that I was hoping to see of like, all right, what does an SEC team do in Big Ten weather late in the year? This is Tennessee at Ohio State. This is now down to 7 points. Started off at 7.5 this week. This is Ohio State by 7. Who you got, D'Anthony?
I think that Ohio State's in big trouble. That line is fucked.
Yep.
And it looked rough against Michigan. As bad as I've seen them play, actually. I don't know. Like, the thing that you could always count on, there's two things you could always count on with Ohio State. One is great receivers, and the other one is great edge rushers throughout the last 15 fucking years, 20, actually. they've got good receivers. They have two of the best. They've got a quarterback who's pretty accurate for the most part. He's good for one fuck-up a game, right?
Yeah.
The problem now is, like, defense or special teams is what bails you out of fuck-ups on the offensive side, and they don't have it. So I don't know, man. I mean, this is I'm probably going to put this in the teaser because I think they win by a touchdown, but I don't know.
And they don't have a good kicker too. Like more importantly, so in that Michigan game, let's not forget. We should have won easily. Like the kicker missed a 34-yard field goal, which my kid, who's 10 years old, just fucking hit, and then a 37-yarder. Like two field goals under 40?
Like badly missed, too.
Badly. I mean, they were not even close. And yeah, dude, for me, because I was reading up on Ohio State before we got in here, they're doing a rotating offensive line, which is not a thing. And that is not good news for Ohio State. I kick this up a half a point here to 7.5, and I take Tennessee. I don't know what you do without an offensive line, and you can go all the way back to that Nebraska game. They have struggled ever since. I don't even think they've had a – even though they have the best running back tandem in all of college football, I don't think one of them has hit 100 yards since those the offensive linemen went out.
It's – They're to your point, there's no such thing as a rotating offensive line. And the reason is because it is the hardest position on the field to play.
And it's all
like everything else other than quarterback is athleticism. I guess linebackers to some degree have complex stuff going on as well. But the offensive lineman, even for just his one position, has to remember the entire fucking playbook. Because if he pulls when he's supposed to push, the quarterback gets fucking killed.
Yep.
Right. Or the run doesn't happen. They have to remember all that for all the plays, all the different formations. And then you're asking them to do it for a second or a third position as well. Not one fucking prayer that happens.
No,
there will be mistakes made and there will be big losses or injuries as a result of it. Fuck that. Like that's dumb as shit to your point. The other part is that I hope Tennessee wins. I hope they crush them and Ryan Day gets fucking fired because he does not belong in that position.
I wonder if Urban would come back with a budget now because it would be like the NFL. Mm-hmm. I really do. He lives there.
Yeah, this way he would be able to pay people and kick them at the same time.
Yeah, which is what I want.
That's the best of both worlds for him.
Yeah,
now.
Dude, I want him to see him kick people. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, to be fair, Jacksonville could use some kicks.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure can.
Fucking Doug Peterson. I don't know if it's just a cursed franchise or what, because Doug's a good coach, but not there.
And with that, like, because all the backups are also out for Ohio State on that line. Give me Tennessee plus the 7.5. I know Ohio State fans are going to come after me, but look, with Ohio State, I think your only saving grace, literally, in just this one game, is the fact that it's going to be 10 with the wind chill at kickoff. I'm looking through Tennessee's schedule here. They've played nowhere near the north ever, and so I have no idea what happens there as far as how the weather is going to affect those kids, and that's it. That's the only, and then you know, obviously Ohio State's probably got the best defense in the nation. They'll keep it somewhat close, but I don't know how you score because you can't run the ball. You have to change your entire offense, all that other stuff. Give me Tennessee plus 7.5. Even if Ohio State wins, it's going to be close. It's not going to be by a field goal because they don't have a goddamn field goal kicker. So give me 7.5, bump it up a half a point for Tennessee.
Yeah, the Tennessee quarterback's never played in cold weather either. He's from Long Beach, and he's never played a cold weather game in the college football.
Yeah. Bob, who you got?
I definitely love Tennessee to cover the spread. I think Tennessee is going to win this game. Their running back is excellent. They've been more of a run-focused team this year, even though Nico is a good quarterback. So Nico not being able to grip the ball is problematic, but not like as bad as it could be for some previous Tennessee teams when they slang it a lot more. I think this is going to be a tight game. I think Ohio State's probably winning at halftime. And I think it eventually just comes down to a grind and Ohio State's. If this was a healthy Ohio State, I'd take Ohio State.
Sure.
Look, if it was a healthy Ohio State, I'd take them and win the national championship, which I did.
But you can't rotate people through your, I mean, even Tennessee, not a fucking great defense, but it's still an SEC team.
No. They have one of the best defenses in the SEC statistically.
Their front seven is really good. Their secondary is okay. But yeah, I mean, it's like they're still even if they're not, they're still an SEC team. It's like, I don't, I mean, look, you got to do what you got to do though. Ohio State didn't choose to do this. Obviously it's like,
no, I mean, you're going to have to change your entire offense. We talked about it, I think last week's show. You can't run the ball, so you got to swing them out and throw it to them. Will Howard's got to throw every single down under a second and a half. And if you're Tennessee, you've already got one of the best running backs. Grind out the clock so Ohio State doesn't get extra possessions.
Keep that defense on the field.
Yeah, and that's how you win that game. The weather is the only curiosity for me where I'm like, all right, what actually happens up there? And to me, out of all of the playoff games, this is probably the best for that exact reason. And it'll probably be the closest. Delco, who you got?
I got the Ohio State. Will Howard is going to sling it. It's going to be a pivotal moment in his college career. Ohio State wins by 10.
Okay. Now, for Will Howard, he doesn't have a choice but to go to the NFL. So this is his last opportunities to show out. If he's going to do it and make an NFL roster, which I think he can because he's a smart kid, and I think he'd be a great backup somewhere. He'll never be an NFL starter. This is your last time to shine here, and you got the best. You have NFL receivers right now, so let's see what happens and just throw every fucking down. And I think that's Ohio State's only shot in this game. The other thing I want to point out for Tennessee fans, there was a leaked code online so that they got into the Ohio State ticketing before everyone else. You're going to see a lot of orange in this stadium. Before they were able to fix the error in the system, I heard Tennessee fans bought up 30% of the tickets and they're going to make the drive up, which is, I don't know, roughly 7 hours.
It's not a terrible drive, especially for those psychos.
Yeah, and this is their first time in the playoffs in, I think, 25 years. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Knoxville?
They've never been in the playoffs. They've been in the BCS.
The last time
they were in the BCS was...
The 90s.
The 90s.
No, it was 2000, right?
Yeah, they won in 2001. It was...
Or was it one?
98. It was 98? Yeah, it was the year after.
With Todd Helton?
Yeah.
No shit.
Another two-star athlete.
Wait, I thought it was Leak.
Two-sport athlete.
Wasn't him?
No, it was Todd Helton in 98.
Chris Leak was Florida.
Peyton. He was Florida, but wasn't there T. Martin. I thought it was T. Martin.
It was T. Martin. Helton was on the team.
Thank you.
T. Martin won. It was before Peyton Manning.
Gotcha. Okay. After Peyton Manning. Yeah, it was the year after. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is their first time being competing for a national championship in the postseason.
In 26 years.
They're going to go bananas for this game,
yeah.
Which is another situation.
They'll all be there. By the way, for Drinkin' Bros Sports, if you're a listener, because we've done tailgates at Tennessee, as well as Ohio State, obviously. Richard Danoff's tailgate. Hit up Richard Danoff and Drinkin' Bros Sports. He will give you directions to the Hard AF Seltzer tailgate there. Everybody is always welcome there from the visiting teams. It's a cool atmosphere at Richard's. So if you're a Tennessee fan and you are going to that game, hit up Richard Danoff online for that tailgate. And all you guys are welcome. Nobody's dicks up there. But you are going to see a lot of Tennessee fans. I know they were able to stop it at like 30%, but shit, that's still a lot of fucking people. In that stadium, you're looking at 30,000 people, for Christ's sake. So, yeah. But 7.5 is where I live on this one. And then I'm going to take a bunch of teasers and all that other shit. As far as the rest of the bowl games, guys, do you watch these anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a fucking West Virginia game tomorrow night.
Yeah, against Memphis.
I'm watching that.
Love that. I mean, there's some fun bowl games for
Cal, sure. Cal, UNLV, let's go.
Florida.
So you're watching the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're fucking sickos, dude.
All right.
What else are you going to bet on? I'm not betting regular season NBA. I'm going to gamble on bowl season.
Well, we got two dog shit Monday night games tonight for the NFL here. God, I hope the Falcons lose and then just blow up this entire organization tonight. Could you imagine if Desmond Ridder was named the starter tonight, by the way, for the Raiders? If Desmond Ridder beats the Falcons on this 2-90 team, dude, fire everybody in sight and blow up this entire team. I mean, maybe blow up the plane.
I don't think they will. The Raiders need to lose because they want to draft Shedeur Sanders. That's the word on the street.
Ooh, have fun with that. Okay. All right. Yep. The other night game here real quick. So right now it's Falcons -6.5. I'm going to take the Falcons just simply because if you lose to a third string quarterback with no offense and no nothing there, you're fucked as an organization, in my opinion, for a long time. To Desmond Ridder, the guy you cut to pay the guy with the torn Achilles and then drafted another fucking guy at 8. You blow up this entire organization. So give me the Falcons, because if you lose this, you've got to demolish this team.
The Falcons are only GM. 2 games out of playoff contention right now. I mean, they're not going to make it, but...
But that's what's nuts to me. If they win tonight, they're 1 game out. Mm. That's the crazy part. Other game is... we'll go around the horn. Who do you got in this Falcons-Raiders game tonight?
Yeah, Falcons.
Who cares?
Take Falcons. The Falcons.
All right. Next up is Bears at the Vikings. D'Anthony, who do you got tonight?
Yeah, the Vikings will win this game. I don't know what's the spread, 7?
I'll drop it down to 6.5.
So yeah, this is a good teaser spot, too, to just it take is. To Vikings and Falcons.
You can take them both down to a pick 'em tonight. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go heavy on that tonight. I'll take the Vikings at a pick 'em, and then I'll take the Falcons at plus a half a point, I guess.
I mean, to be honest, if you're the Falcons, you got to think about what you're going to do with Bijan Robinson. Are you going to put him out there and let him keep taking punishment for a season that doesn't matter? I mean, this might be his last game playing for the year.
He's going over 1,000 yards in this game.
Yeah.
Which is nuts because they don't really run him that much. God, he's good. And Brock Bowers, the year he's having with the worst quarterbacks in the history of the world, 87 receptions, 933 yards. That guy's rookie of the year, right? Actually, shit. What do you do? I guess it's Jayden Daniels.
Yeah, Jayden Daniels probably, but we'll see.
Yeah, fuck, man. Because, I mean, that's nuts. He's going to go over 100 receptions as a rookie. A tight end with Aiden O'Connell as your quarterback. Minshew obviously went down, so he's out of there. But, Delco, who do you got tonight?
With
Bears-Vikings, -7.
I go Vikings. Yeah, they're still in contention for that fucking number one overall slot.
Well, who wins it between if you guys tie with the Eagles? Or with if Vikings tie with the Eagles?
I think it's best conference record. We have 2 conference losses.
Oh, gotcha.
So right now the Lions are still in the driver's seat because they have 1.
Okay. Vikings play the Lions, though, the last game of the year.
Right.
Holy shit.
How many losses in conference do the Vikings have? I don't know if it's 1 or 2, but...
They lost to the Lions, so 1, and then the Rams. So they got 1.
So they have 2. So we need them to beat the Lions then.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, I'll bet on that tonight. I'll go heavy on that. I'll use that teaser and drop it down on MyBookie. Bet with us or against us on MyBookie.com. Make sure to use that promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. We'll be live with fake news in about 5 minutes over on Drinkin' Bros Podcast. Patreon, join us over there. Don't forget to rate this show a 5-star on iTunes and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star and you can walk away. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the College Football Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.